reading to you from Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 2nd verse. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to share Christ ever since. You know, I wished I could sit here tonight in my studio and tell you I've always done what God wanted me to do. I can't do that. Oh, friends, we need to try to live the best life we can for Jesus. Just think what he did on the cross of Calvary for us. My stars in the morning. And he loves you. He loves me. Now, there are a lot of people who say, I don't believe there's a God. Well, someday you're going to ever kneel, bow before him and confess that Jesus is Christ. Be with you for a half an hour tonight. Just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 32nd Psalm, and let's begin reading with the 3rd verse. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through many groaning all day long, for the day and night thy hand were heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Selah. Tonight we've labeled this, Why Feel Guilty. Oh, guilt's a terrible thing, isn't it? You ought to know, I ought to know, because we've experienced it. But David's description of his guilt feelings. He feels miserable and unhappy all day long. Can you identify with this guilty king? Well, let's first define what is guilt. Guilt is the fact or condition of having committed an offense, especially a willfully violation of a legal or moral code. That comes from the Reader's Digest Great Encyclopedia Dictionary. This willful violation of moral integrity brings deep feelings of remorse. Why you feel guilty and what to do about it? Well, you may feel guilty because you are guilty. Now, David felt guilty because of his sin, verse 3 and 4. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon him, upon me. Let's admit that we're all guilty before God. And let me read something in Romans 3, a couple verses in Romans 3. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. There is no fear of God before their eyes, because by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For through the law comes a knowledge of sin. You remember Belshazzar? Well, we have been weighed and found wanting in Daniel 1:5, 27. You have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Well, that man lived a an ungodly life. He did everything he wanted to do. Boy, he was rich. He had everything. He had concubines. You name it, he had it. But one day, he was weighing the scales that he found deficient. Well, let me ask you this. Guilty feelings can also have a positive effect. They're like the warning signs of cancer, and they're like the pains that warn of a serious problem. They may come from an awakened conscience. They may result from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And friends, let me tell you what. The Holy Spirit does convict people of sin. Hey, since I've been a Christian, I've done things that I knew was wrong. And I'll guarantee you, God convicted me of it. But you know, what do you do when God convicts you of sin? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You get down on your knees and you tell him what you did. Don't try to hide it, because you can't. Don't hide under the desk. Don't go throw yourself under the bus. You confess it. Now, what happens when you confess it? The Bible said if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive all sin, not just a couple little ones. He'll confess them all. But there's a secret there. You must turn away from it. You can't just go right back the next day and start doing it. You just turn your back on it, and he promises that he will forgive. And when he forgives you, what does he do? He removes that guilty stain. I thank God for guilty feelings if it brings you to him. And you may feel guilty because you have not been forgiven. Now, how David felt before confessing his sin and receiving forgiveness. Again, let's go to verse 3. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Oh, friends, he felt much older than his years, and he felt as though God was against him. Have you ever felt that way? Listen, friends, I don't know if you know what an inferiority complex is, but I've struggled with that ever since I've been a Christian. That's right. Inferiority complex. I shouldn't do that. But sometimes I do. I feel I'm not worthy. And all of us have felt that time. We're not even worthy to call on his name. But we should. Because he asked us to. And there's another thing that I want to bring up. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, when we break his commandments, we're kind of saying, well, we don't love you. He felt as though he was in a spiritual desert. You remember our good friend Moses. Well, after he killed that guy and took off like a herd of turtles out into the wilderness, he got a job herding sheep. Now, I'm not putting down sheep herders. No, I'm not. Because they have a tremendous job, and I've knew some wonderful sheep herders. My dad used to run thousands of head of sheep as well as cattle. But anyway, Moses kind of got the feeling that, boy, God had forgot him. Well, he did until that day. Well, God never forgets nobody, but he was silent toward Moses, and then the burning bush experience, we all know about that. Well, now, you see, actually, Moses had an inferiority complex, believe it or not. He was 80-some years old. Now, he was called to do a job that, boy, I wouldn't have wanted done. Go down there and lead those people, his people, to the promised land. And he knew that he was going to have to face that stinking old Pharaoh, that lying thief. He knew he had to face him. But you know, God assured him. He wanted to know what he was to tell Pharaoh, who sent me down here. And God said, I am that I am. Hey, there's nobody else. No higher person than our God. Well, forgiveness was available to David, but he had not accepted it. Well, here's what we read in Isaiah 53rd chapter 5 and 6 verse. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement was well being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Friends, just remember this. Just remember this. The Lord Jesus was sinless. He did not sin, never in his whole life. But he was tempted just like you and I, but he sinned not. Now, there came a time when Jesus knew that he was going to take your sins and my sins upon him. That would make him a sinner, wouldn't it? Well, he did just that. And while on the cross, he cried out, my God, why has he forsaken me? The reason for it, that God can't look on sin. God's a holy, righteous God. So whenever people sin, he looks at the blood of Jesus. If it's under the blood, you're all right. If you've been born again, it's okay. But listen, you don't go out and play with sin, because sin is so easy to play with. Don't you remember when Eve was out there in the Garden of Eden and she saw this tree and it so looked so good. The fruit looked so good. Hey, sin does look good. Come on, let's tell the truth. Sin looks good. Well, and she yielded. Now, again, I've said so many times, if you're tempted to sin, but you yield not, you didn't sin. It's only after you yield that it becomes sin to the Lord. Well, the Lord's payment for sin is this, Isaiah 53:5-6. I read this before, but I'll read it again. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity to fall on him. You know, friends, have you ever been around sheep? Well, I have. My dad raised thousands of head of sheep, and we used to, Art Bohosky, who lived up on by Arlington, we used to pasture his sheep. I remember one time, friends, this is not funny, but I'll tell you what happened. This sheepherder had his tent out there by our barn, where he was herding sheep. And one morning I was on the way to school and I stopped to see. I liked the old man. He was very kind and very friendly. I mean, he always had some candy for me. But anyway, he said, Cecil, would you like to have some pancakes? Ooh, I love pancakes. Now, here's what he did, friends. Believe it or not, he rolled a sack of flour sack down there and he poked a little hole in there and he poured in some canned milk. And he poured in 2 shots of whiskey. That's right, 2 shots of whiskey. Now I want you to know, friends, that was the best pancakes I ever ate in my life. And they raised, you know, there was the alcohol that raised them. Now he cooked all the alcohol out of them. But I went home and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I wish you'd put some of that whiskey in our pancakes. And boy, my mom hit the ceiling. She said, what? And I told her, I said, don't you ever go up there again, and don't you ever eat any of his pancakes. Well, I was innocent. I was only about 8 or 9 years old. But, friends, listen to me. Listen. The Lord guarantees of our forgiveness. And I read in Hebrews 7:25. Hence also, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessory for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Did you hear that? He is able to save forever. He don't give you halfway salvation. If he saves you, he saves you. No, he doesn't take it away. You said, but Cecil, I heard a preacher on TV the other day that said, you can lose it. Well, I said, you don't believe that. Read the Bible. Your salvation is forever. And you know why it's forever? Because God's not ever going to die. He's always going to be with us. He has always been and always will be. So, he takes and saves you forever. Well, You know, heaven's celebration of forgiveness, and our forgiveness depends on accepting God's gracious offer to us sinners. You say, well, now, wait a minute, Cecil, wait a minute. What do you mean? Our forgiveness depends on accepting God's gracious. Well, he does offer us a way for a forgiveness. But it is, again, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, friends, God's gift is our salvation. He gives it to you free. No, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. And it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift, get that, of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you might say, well, Cecil, like my dear aunt said, I've lived a good life. Of course she lived a good life. But, friends, living a good life is not going to get you into heaven. You were born once of the flesh, but Jesus tells Nicodemus and tells you and I, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Well, Nicodemus says, my stars, you mean I'm an old man. Could I enter the second time my mother's womb be born again? Oh, Nicodemus said, are you a ruler of the Jews and you don't even know that simple plan? He said, look, the wind blows and you can't see it, but you see the evidence of it when the trees are blowing and the bushes are blowing. So it is with the Spirit of God. You can't see him, but you can see the evidence. Here I was, a no-good drunk. I went to this preacher's home at 3 a.m. in the morning. Never even met the preacher in my life. Didn't even know him. And I sat there and I cried like I couldn't cry anymore. And he told me that God loved me. Well, I did not believe that. How could I believe it? I was a no-good alcoholic. How could I believe that? Oh, friends, but listen, when he quoted John 3:16, it just knocked my socks off. He said, for God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved you, for God so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son. Hey, see, people say, oh, those Jews, they knocked Jesus down and took his life. Oh, beloved, you're wrong. They didn't take his life. Jesus offered his life a ransom for others. I tell you the true story about a guy. He had two boys. One was about 14, one was about 17. And they had milk cows, and they had a big cornfield. And he was to go to town, and he told his boys, he said, now, boys, be sure and keep an eye on that fence, because if those cows get in that corn, they'll wreck it. Well, they let the cows get in the corn. And when he come home, the dad said, well, it was a little boy who did it. He didn't do it. The older boy wasn't guilty, but the little boy did. And he said, who did that? Who was guilty? And the oldest boy said, I was. And so he took a beating for his little brother because he didn't want his brother beaten. That's exactly what Jesus did for you and me. He gave his life. They drove spikes in his hands and his feet and a crown of thorns on his head. That's what he did because he loves you. Oh, friends, I never thought anybody could ever love me in my alcoholic condition, honest. And I feel sorry for alcoholics. Lately, I've been bumping into alcoholics everywhere. Well, I shouldn't say it. Bumping. God puts them in my way. And I give them a film and I witness to them. I give them a book. Even grace does not force forgiveness on us. You can be free from guilt by accepting forgiveness. Well, David finally sought and found forgiveness in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Man alive, just think of that. Listen, why don't you read and identify with the guilty king's confession? Read the 51st Psalm, the whole Psalm. Read it. Read it over again. Now, David's confession of his sin fit all of us. Sins confessed are sins forgiven. He said, "Thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin." And this is always true. I read in 1 John 1:9. There was a true light which coming to the world enlightens every man. Let me ask you, friends. Oh, let me ask you this. Why remain a prisoner of past sins? Let me tell you, friends, this has happened to me one time. I was a baby Christian, and I was praying one morning, and the most filthy thing came across my mind that I couldn't believe it. And I thought, oh, precious Lord, how in the world could I be born again? And that come across my mind. Well, I went to Sunday school with a heavy heart. And the Sunday school teacher, believe it or not, got up there and said, "Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden a terrible thing come across your mind and you wonder what in the world's happened?" And I held up my hand. I said, "I did." Well, he said, "You know what that is?" I said, "Shoot, no, I wished I did." He said, "That's Satan trying to jam the airways." Now listen, friends, every Christian in this world can commit a sin as bad as that. They could. Oh, don't think you can't commit sin, because you can. We don't want to commit sin, but we do. Bring your sins to the one who died for sinners. And you don't have to feel guilty anymore. You've got to confess them, turn from them, and he says he'll forgive you. Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel guilty tonight? Have you done something this week that you shouldn't have done and you know you did it wrong? You know you did it wrong? Well, are you sorry for it? Well, if you are, you come before the Lord and you confess it, every bit of it, and say, "Lord, I am so sorry I did this." And if you turn your back on that, and he'll forgive you every blessed sin, but you got to tell him. Confess it. That means tell. God wants to hear from you tonight. And friend, listen, if you're lost and you don't know where you're headed for heaven, I want you to know tonight you can settle it once and for all. Yes, you can. And how are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to lead you in the most powerful prayer ever known unto man. Now, look at friends. You say, "Well, I prayed that prayer." Have you been changed? Have you been born again? Listen, the Bible said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things pass away. Behold, all things become anew." If your life hasn't changed, you didn't find it. But tonight, if you're ready to turn your back on the old way of life, I want you to pray this prayer. And here's how it goes. "Dear Lord, I confess that I am lost, doomed and damned. Tonight, Lord, I open my heart and I invite you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. There's a real hell, a burning hell, at the end of a Christless eternity. There's a heaven for those who trust Jesus. All right, that phone number is 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Heavy burden. touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you for listening, and I pray that something was said that would encourage you. Oh, friends, don't go through life with guilt on your heart or your back. First, trust the Lord, and then live for Him. Get into the book. Get you a good Bible church where it preaches Jesus. And if you do make a mistake, and you will, you need to confess it and turn from it, and God will forgive you. Well, pray for my wife and I as we go to prison. Pray that God will give us precious souls for our hire. And I want you to pray for our health, too. Be sure and pray for your pastor and your church. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Please stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.